I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it appears that the Jays are now thinking about next summer, right? And apparently, the Leafs are going to try again to make it to the Stanley Cup without me. For some reason, I didn't make the cut. So I hope I have not disappointed you. But I also have to confess that I've given up hope and resigned myself to what appears to be inevitable. I'm afraid I won't be competing at the Olympic Games in Paris next summer. After all those intense post-COVID training sessions, swimming those grueling lengths at the YMCA, I've accepted the fact that my freestyle medley times are not going to cut it, and Maggie McNeil will have to fly out of London without me. You know, I would if I could, but I can't, so I won't. Now, while I may be content not to be in Paris for the 24 Summer Games, certainly there are a host of others who are presently doing all in their power to train and attain the level of physical prowess and competitiveness needed to compete, and not just compete, but go all out for gold. There isn't a part of their lives that is not being affected by their drive for the goal, the prize, the gold. And the well-being of their homes and their relationships, their jobs, and even their long-term health are included in the costs. The attitude of "I can" and "I will" for most is an innate attitude. Something I've learned is never underestimate the will of a young child, right? When you make a gesture to help them, right, with the juice pitcher as they pour themselves a glass, or I try to reach for the laces on their shoes as they get ready to go outside, or taking hold of the zipper on their jacket before they go out the door, I can do it. I can do it, right? They are little world conquerors. And some of that innate posture can hang on, can it, into adulthood. I can do it, right? I must do it all. It's all up to me. Can continue for years and years despite the setbacks and the disappointments. Now, as we heard, if there's anyone who had reason to feel self-confident, someone who had all his ducks in a row, it was Saul of Tarsus. And who was Saul of Tarsus before he became Paul, the writer of our lesson to the Philippians? Well, he was religious and blameless, reaching the pinnacle of Pharisee, keeping the law and traditions perfectly. He was zealous and a defender of the faith, who assisted in the stoning of Stephen, and he led the attack against the early church. Just leadership qualities just oozed from Saul of Tarsus. He was a scholar. He studied under the great rabbi Gamaliel. he hung out with the right people, and he had thick Jewish blood. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, from the lineage of the first king of Israel, and he was pure Hebrew. And on top of that, he was a Roman citizen. He had everything. So many would think. And Paul came to discover that none of this satisfied him, and none of this gave him acceptance with God. Did you hear that? None of this gave him acceptance from God. Now, how can you knock righteous living and squeaky clean obedience and defending passionately the faith of your fathers? Friends, it was not bad things that kept Paul away from Jesus. It was for the most part what he and others considered as good things. It seems that Paul had to lose his religion to find his salvation. And Paul was confronted by the resurrected living Christ. On the road to Damascus, Paul was struck blind in order that the apostle Paul could see Christ anew. The Lord of the future took hold of Saul in order that Paul might take hold of what God had intended for him, had planned for him. And it took a transformation so radical that it caused him to regard all the so-called gains of yesterday as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ and being found in him. So the I can and I will, Saul, recognized just how blind he had become. He now saw clearly that his confidence could no longer be found in himself, but rather could only be found in the one who found him, claimed him, and gave him all that he could not achieve on his own. Freedom, forgiveness, life everlasting, hope, and a future, a divine destiny. The I can and I will Saul became the I would if I could, but I can't, so he will, Paul. And Paul writes, "Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Some of you may remember me telling you about a friend of ours. Diane and I had a friend, Jo Wells. And Jo was our neighbor when I was at seminary in Hamilton. And Jo was a therapist who had a passion for running. And by the way, she was also asthmatic. But she was a marathon runner, and she'd even cross-country skied to the North Pole. And Jo died just over a decade ago from an aggressive cancer. But she remains an inspiration to many. And she was no stranger to adversity or threat. Jo was the first woman to run across Canada from shore to shore, east to west, the Atlantic to the Pacific. And she ran uphill and against the wind between May 16th and September 4th of 1994. 111 days, 7,250 kilometers. She ran the longest distance in the fastest time of any woman in Canada. And while she ran, she faced vehicle breakdown, team dysfunction, persistent emotional and physical needs, nasty weather, hail, lightning, wet clothes, fatigue, nausea, bee stings. She ran with a bear and even a stalker. And Joe was encouraged by people along the way who walked and ran and rode alongside. And Joe understood straining forward. And she said that pressing on meant seeing my toe in front of me. I'm not aware of any Olympic events that move backwards, but maybe apart from rowing, right? And maybe in a way, high jumping, right? But for the most part, when we observe competitors, we see countless pictures of people straining forward to what lies ahead. And that necessitates a forgetting of what lies behind. Friends, if we're to know and experience our divine destiny, we have to recognize when the past has control over us. We know how regrets and losses and failures and missed opportunities can trip us up and stare us down into a state of inertia. Even the successes of the past can control us. Remember that God put our toes in front of our eyes. And when souls get so past-oriented, is it any wonder that we stumble and fall? Last Sunday, I emphasized that Christians are people shaped more by their future than they are shaped by their past. People who recognize their limitations and offer themselves to the author of life become future-oriented people. There's a kind of discombobulating orientation that takes hold of us. It finds us no longer moving from a determined past trajectory and into a precarious and anxious present before an uncertain and frightful future. But rather, we move from a secure future into a peaceful and contented present before a redeemed past. Friends, please know and understand that forgetting what lies behind does not mean fail to remember, but rather it means that we are no longer unduly beholden to the past or exceedingly influenced or especially affected by it. Friends, we cannot change the past, but we can find new meaning in it. And that is what happens in our future present, past orientation. The Lord of the future took hold of Paul in order that Paul might take hold of what God intended for him. And so the I can do it myself, Saul, became the I would if I could, but I can't, so I won't, and turn to the I would if I could, but I can't, so he will, Paul. Friends, we would if we could, but he can, so we will, right? Amen? The outcome depends on our humble, willing response to God's invitation in Christ, to know him and experience him. And God is always, always raising up new possibilities, new challenges, fresh opportunities to minister in Christ's name. So let's not dwell on the past, but let it inspire us. Don't you see? Ask God, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Surprise. Do you not perceive it? Lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of us, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Let us press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We would if we could, but he can, so we will, by the power of his love. Let's bring our lives to God in prayer. Oh God, our grateful hearts have been bruised by the news of conflict erupting in the homeland of your Son. And fear of the future is vying for a place in us. Oh God, bless the work of your peacemakers and dispel the fear by your conquering love. God, how grateful we are to not journey into an unknown future alone. We're grateful for partners in mission and ministry who press on toward our high calling with us. How glad we are to know of your faithfulness to Conrad and Fiona, who step into spaces beyond our scope, and bless and protect them and their staff as they welcome students in Germany, and strengthen and sustain them as they meet challenges in China, and give them wisdom to navigate through the threats and losses in Myanmar. Guide and protect and bless the offerings of our sisters and brothers in Canada who are leaving to come alongside them. God, we are grateful for your coming alongside of us in Jesus. And thank you for your Spirit being in us, even when we find it hard to sense your presence. We thank you for the silent presence of friends and loved ones when we are tired and dispirited, and for the confidence they inspire and the encouragement they give. We thank you for the new dimensions you bring to our living through joys and sorrows shared, and for the strength you give to cope when illness comes. And we thank you for the opportunities to care in your name, for energies used creatively in your service, for new tasks and challenges, and for kind words and gestures of appreciation. And we so appreciate the patience and understanding of parents and grandparents, and for opportunities to share in the growing of our children and grandchildren. We thank you for new friendships made and for old friends we love, those with whom we can relax and truly be ourselves. On this special weekend of gathering and tasty ingredients, the fruits of the field, people welcoming us home with smiles of affection. Some of us have gathered in this house, having come from another house, filled with the smell of sage and onion and pumpkin pie. And some have struggled with a turkey too big for the roast pan, one that required several cooks, one to hold the slippery creature and one to stuff it in, anyone left over to laugh. We thank you for these many pleasures. God, we remember to your care today those whose pleasures have been diminished by difficult days and anxiety-filled nights, and those whose hearts are broken with bereavement. God, we pray for the family of Betty, and that your peace would find its home in them. God, we're grateful that there are those with whom we journeyed that have pressed on with us over the years. We're grateful for their memory, and we pray, healing God, that you will continue to uphold us as we press on together into tomorrow. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege of carrying all our burdens and blessings to you in prayer. Amen.